Father in heaven, I thank you as always. The entrance of your word brings light. Let that light shine this morning, brighter and brighter, unto a more perfect day, even for every one of us, and bring illumination and understanding in our hearts and victory all around in Jesus' name. Glory to God. Amen. Well, welcome to the room. You know, if you've been here the last few days, we, you know, from the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, we went into various things. You know, we've even done a faith lab, you know, and where we've, you know, searched out the scriptures and used it to practice our faith specs and so forth. Today is kind of a continuation or piggyback on that, but I'm going to bring a different aspect today. And I believe that the Lord, I've been praying for everyone that will be in this room today. You know, I know God's going to do something. So but I'm going to I know I get really excited sometimes, and especially on a day as this, I'm so excited, but let me take it slow and bring this teaching because it is so powerful if you can catch it. Today is, I'm doing prophetic prayers, commanding the works of God's hands at the title of today's room. You know, and every so often I do something like this. I did something like this 3 years ago or so. I don't know how long ago, at our church here in Phoenix. Powerful stuff when the Lord brings it. And, you know, I was thinking about, you know, what we're going to do today. And the Lord reminded me that you are still on a roll for the faith lab and for those things. You know, so in the faith lab, we did how to use the word of God in prayers and how to posture ourselves in alignment with that word and then begin to, you know, be persuaded, embrace it, confess it for ourselves and so on. You know, today we're going to do a different aspect, but still along the same line. I start here at Isaiah chapter 45 and verse 11. Hallelujah. So let's take note of these scriptures that we are going to use today. Today's scripture is from Isaiah 45 and verse 11. Thus saith the Lord, the Holy One of Israel. Now remember, that's the Holy One, not the Holy Three or the Holy any number that people try to slice God into. That's never going to work. He is the Holy One of Israel and his maker. Ask me of things to come concerning my sons and my daughters, and concerning the work of my hands, command ye me. Woo-hoo. Glory to God. When God throws something out like that, now there's been a lot of people try to twist up this verse, say, well, it couldn't be, that couldn't be what he said. Some translations put a question mark behind this thing. And they say, well, you know, God is asking a question. Well, I'm going to take it literally as I see it right here. And I have done it and it has worked. I continue to use it and it works. And I'm going to explain it to us today so that you also can catch the fire. Hallelujah. When you catch the fire and the revelation of this verse, you know, then you will be able to use it for yourself. But I will use a couple of stories, maybe two or three stories in that Bible to explain this. You know, so the first story, because you say, what does this really mean? I mean, how can we command God? Well, don't worry about that yet. Just follow the lesson. Hallelujah. Follow the lesson. So the first story that we are going to read today to try to use this to explain. And I'm going to do this exact thing that we will be talking about today. I'm going to do it towards the end of the room when I finish presenting the teaching. You know, so you stay tuned. Hallelujah. And the first story that we are going to use today is actually taken from the book of Joshua, chapter 10. And I'm going to just read a few verses. You can read the whole story. And if you know the story, then you'll have the background, but I don't want to read all of the story, you know, but I just want to read verses 12 to 14. Joshua is in battle here. Okay. So he's in battle and it turns out, the part that I want to bring out in this story, it turns out that, you know, as they are fighting the kings of Amorites and so forth, you know, helping out their friends and everything like that, and the Lord's giving them the victory, but it turns out in this story, the way I want you to look at it today, that, you know, they're running out of time because the sun is about to go down. And, you know, Joshua needs a little bit more time, you know, to finish this business. You know, so here's what we're going to read from verse 12. Then spake Joshua to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel. And he said in the sight of Israel, Son, S-S-U-N, stand thou still upon Gibeon, and thou moon in the valley of Ajalon. Okay. And the sun stood still and the moon stayed until the people had avenged themselves upon their enemies. And he said, is this not written in the book of Joshua? So the sun stood still in the midst of heaven and hasted not to go down about a whole day. And there was no day like that before or after that the Lord hearkened to the voice of a man, for the Lord fought for Israel. All right. So let's break this down. Let's see what he says here in verse 12. Then spake Joshua to the Lord. Now, that's what the Bible says. Joshua spake to the Lord. But what exactly did Joshua speak to the Lord? I mean, so we see that Joshua spake to the Lord. But how did he speak to the Lord? Well, Joshua said, in the sight of all Israel, he didn't go to a corner, he didn't hide to say it, but he spoke to the sun and the moon. But we are told that he spoke to the Lord. Now there's no contradiction here. Let's take a look at it carefully. Joshua spake to the Lord. And what did he say? He said, thou sun, stand still. And thou moon, stay over there, you know, and so forth. Now, if you would look at Joshua, the phrase Joshua spake to the Lord, what you would expect, naturally, would be for Joshua to say something. Lord, let such and such happen, or let such and such be. And that's what, that's what speaking to the Lord. If you speak to the Lord, you would address the Lord directly. And say, oh, Lord, we're fighting this battle. We need more time. Give us more time. Let this be or let that be. Let such and such happen. Let this, you know, whatever. You know, you'd speak to the Lord like that. But Joshua actually did speak to the Lord. But that's what he says. But he spoke to the Lord in a different way. Hallelujah. And that's what I want to bring out today. Isaiah 45, verse 11, God gives us this invitation to speak to the Lord in this way. Now, when you speak to the works of God's hands, you're actually speaking to the Lord. Because, you know, the Lord is the one that's in charge. Has not my hand made all these things, saith the Lord? He's the one. You know, we can't do anything, you know, outside of God. You know, but we learn a tremendous lesson here in seeing how that Joshua spoke to the Lord by actually speaking to the works of God's hands. The sun is the work of his hands. The moon is the work of his hands. So Joshua standing here and speaking to the sun and moon, it is recorded as that he spoke to the Lord. Now let's look at Isaiah 45:11 again. It says, you know, concerning my sons and the work of my hands. Command ye me. And so, you know, it's really the work of his hands, like the sun and the moon or whatever else, you know, that God has already put out there in decree that we can speak to. And it'll be as though we spoke to the Lord. It was as though Joshua spoke to the Lord. And indeed, he did speak to the Lord, you know, because, you know, he spoke to the works of God's hands. It's a powerful revelation and powerful secret. And if you know how to work it, and Joshua most certainly did, you know, something good is going to happen each time. Now, I want to bring out the aspect of praying and then the aspect of speaking. Now, we've done the praying when we did the faith lab, you know, how, you know, and also with the speaking and the confessing and so forth. But I want to extend it a little bit today to say that, you know, most of us think of prayer as, you know, petitioning God for something. And that's fine. It is part of that. That, like Paul said to Timothy, he said, you know, first of all, that prayer, you know, all kinds, there's all kinds of prayer. Prayer should be made for all men, you know, prayer of supplication, prayer of intercession, you know, prayer of this and that, you know, prayer of even thanksgiving. There's all kinds of prayer, you know, so we know that. But there is this other kind of prayer that I want to talk about today. And it's called prophetic prayers. Prophetic prayers is when you take, and that's similar to what we described in the faith lab. Prophetic prayers is when you take that word of God and speak it to the situation at hand to shape the outcome of that situation. That's right. Rather than just take a back seat and let everything be like it was. When I was a young man, I heard a song. There was a song I used to hear. After a while, I didn't like that song. Because when I began to understand what the song said, I didn't like it at all. The song said, "Ko sera sera." In other words, whatever will be. And it sang, "Ko sera sera, whatever will be." I hate that song. Because, you know, that song is telling you to just take a passive mode and let whatever will be. No! We need to take an active part in playing out the things the way we want them to be according to the word of the Lord. Don't just say, let everything be as it will be. Whatever will be. What does that even mean? No. What we are going to do here today is learn how to prophetically impact the outcome of any situation by the word of God. Now, we've already known and learned how to use the word of God, find a promise for what you are believing. But now I want to take it. This is part two of that, is to actually use that word a specific way, you know, not just, you know, I mean, you're going to be doing what we learned in the faith lab, you know, maintaining a posture of faith, of declaration, you know, and so forth. But here, we're also going to use the word prophetically to bring out even what was not there, you know. And what is prophecy? Prophecy is basically speaking the word of God. When you take the word of God and you use it in a situation, that's a prophetic speaking, you know, because what God had already said, when we repeat it, it's really prophetic speaking. And when we go into prayers, you know, you can actually prophetically declare something as though it was thus saith the Lord, because it is thus saith the Lord, because the word of God already said it, and you're just giving voice to his word. Now, it's not exactly too different from what we already taught, but I want to bring this aspect out. I want to show very clearly that the same God that answered, you know, they answered Joshua. It even said that, you know, God didn't hearken to anybody like that until that day. But it was really the sun and the moon that Joshua spoke to. I mean, why are we being told that he spoke to the Lord? But he did speak to the Lord, because that's what the Lord said in Isaiah 45:11. "Command ye me concerning my sons and daughters, concerning the work of my hands." God has the capacity to say that, because there is really nothing within the realm of his will that you can say that he cannot do. Hallelujah. He can do it all. So we're going to look at a couple of stories in the Bible that support this point. And look at some people also that have used, you know, this posture to declare the word of God. over situations, you know, even over nations and stuff like that. Just declare the word of God prophetically. Now, once we see those stories, and then we're going to bring it around to ourselves. It's no different than what we've been learning, but I want to do it for those who are in the room today. So I'm going to give you this background to follow this lesson, and then we're going to do it. Now, in the book of 1 Kings, chapter 17 and verse 1, we see this figure that suddenly appeared upon the scene. Up till this point, I haven't heard very much about him or even nothing at all. You know, but suddenly, Elijah the Tishbite, who was one of the inhabitants of Gilead, just showed up in the midst of all this nation that was crazily following idolatry, following Baal, and following all the false prophets, and, you know, following the wickedness of Ahab. And he said, you know, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, now that's a secret, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. That's it. You know, now he didn't exactly come out there and pray. He's already prayed because he said, before whom I stand. He's already been in the presence of God. Now he's coming out there and he's going to prophetically declare something. And he says, look, there is not going to be any rain. It's not even going to be even dew, you know, until I call for it. It's kind of like taking the key and locking up heaven, put in your pocket and walk away. You know, it's, you know, I mean, it's that powerful. And the book of James will tell us that, look, Elijah was a man of like passion, telling us that if Elijah could do these things, you know, now the book of James calls it prayer. And we saw that he actually prayed when he was praying for the rain, you know, but the first time around, it was more of a declaration. He just said it and moved on. Now the rain and the dew, those are the works of God's hands. And Elijah had the ability and the capacity to understand how to command, you know, the works of God's hands. The rain, the dew, they're not going to happen except by my word. He said it and he moved on. And God honored that word. Hallelujah. God honored that word to a T. You know, now let's look at a lesson that God will tell us, teach us by he talking to Job. Some of you have heard me say this. I love the story of Job because many things come out of the story of Job, particularly in Job chapter 38. There are many things there that we see by God talking to Job, some understanding that goes along with today's lesson. Job chapter 38. You can read the whole chapter, but I want to read the whole chapter. You know, so I'm going to abbreviate it. Just read a few verses. You know, so let's start at Job chapter 38. And I'm going to first of all read verse 12. Then I will jump forward to maybe verse 31 or so. So let me read verse 12 of Job 38. Now remember, this is God talking to Job, praise the Lord. And here's what he said to him. Hast thou commanded the morning since thy days? And have you caused the day spring to know his place? Now, there are some questions, tough questions, that God's going to ask Job in this chapter. And by him, you know, basically, he's challenging Job here that, look, if you have understanding about some things that I've done, then speak. Let's engage here. Let's have this conversation. If you know, I mean, God, the way God even spoke to him is that, who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge? I mean, who are you to even question the Lord? You know, now remember, Job was a man that God was so proud of. But at some point in time, Job started to wonder in his heart, you know. And the Lord said, look, guard up now thy loins like a man. I would demand of thee, and answer me if you know the answers to these things. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me, if you have the understanding. I mean, who laid the measures of it? You know, if you know it, tell me, where is the line stretched out? Where are the foundations fastened? Where is the cornerstone? And even the morning stars and the sons of God, when they shouted for joy, where were you? And that tells us also that sons of God were there with him from the beginning. You know, I mean, who shut up the sea, the doors, and all these things and so forth? You know, when I made a cloud like a garment, when I made thick darkness, when I broke up, you know, I mean, he just asked him so many questions. Hast thou commanded the morning since thy days? I mean, can you actually command the morning? And the answer is yes. So by us, you know, listening in on this conversation, we actually find some things, some secrets that can be done. You know, the beauties of holiness in the womb of the morning. Can you command the morning? Hast thou commanded it? Well, some of us don't know how to do it. I've been trying to teach us in this room. You know, can you make the day spring to know its place, that it may take hold on the ends of the earth and all of that and so forth? Then listen to, let me just jump to verse 31. There's many, many things he asks him here, you know, like where is the way that light dwelleth, you know, and as for darkness, where is the place? And he tells him so many things. Now, let's jump here. It even talks about the treasures of snow and everything. There's so many things that, you know, by which way is the light parted and scattered the east wind upon the earth and so forth. You know, many things. Where is he? Who is the father of rain? Who has begotten the drops of dew? Ask him a lot of questions. If you have understanding about these things. But listen to this. Canst thou bind the sweet influences of Pleiades? You know, or loose the bands of Orion? These are constellations in the heavenlies. Can you do it? Canst thou bring forth Maseroth in his season? Canst thou guide Arcturus with his songs? Knowest thou, this is a powerful one. Do you know the ordinances of heaven? Can you set the dominion thereof in the earth? Can you lift up your voice to the clouds that the abundance of waters may cover you? Now, by all these questions that God is asking Job, we actually find that, you know, anybody who understands this can do these things. You can actually lift up your voice to the clouds and cause abundance of waters to come down. You can speak to the elements and cause rain to happen. You know, can you send forth lightnings? Well, you know, can you do all these things? The Lord asked him. The one I want to bring forth more importantly today is, do you understand or know the ordinances of heaven? Can you set their dominion upon the earth? These things tell us that, look, things that happen upon the earth are controlled in the heavenlies. And if you know how to set, I mean, if you know how to put the ordinances just right, by commanding the works of God's hands, by speaking to the Lord, through speaking to the works of his hands, you can actually influence the outcome of things upon the earth. Powerful stuff. I mean, let's look at a story in Ezekiel chapter 37, a famous story that all of us, I think most people know, you know, the story of Ezekiel, you know, and the valley of dry bones. But there's something I want to bring out here. And I love this story. I've used it multiple times, you know, when we do this kind of ministration. But I love this story. Because there is something I want to bring out here that is in line with this. He said, the Lord carried me in the spirit, set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones, caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. The Lord said to him, son of man, can these bones live? So that's the question. Now, sometimes the Lord likes to ask people questions. You know, and this man didn't know the answer, but he gave a smart answer. He said, well, I don't know, Lord, but you know. And so the Lord is going to tell him what to do. Now, listen to this. The Lord said to him, prophesy upon his bones. Now the bones were on the ground. Now prophesy upon the bones. And the upon is the word here. Prophesy upon these bones and say to them. Now, can actually dead bones hear the word of God or the voice of God? Can trees, you know, can the elements, can things like that hear the voice of God? Well, let's see. Say to these bones, O ye dry bones, hear ye the word of the Lord. Now, if you understand how to do that, you know, that's prophetically commanding the works of God's hands. Now, God created those bones at one time before they died and became dry. All those were bones of people and stuff like that. And we don't know how long they've been there. And so the Lord said to him, prophesy upon the dry bones. And then tell the dry bones to hear the word of the Lord. And then say, in addition, behold, saith the Lord, I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord. And the Lord likes to say what he's going to do before he says it, so that when it happens, you will know that he is the Lord. That's what he says here. You know, and why is Ezekiel going to be involved in this process? I mean, why didn't God just do it? I mean, God can just speak to the bones on his own. God can just cause the breath to come to the bones on his own and do all of that. And not even engage Ezekiel. But then we wouldn't have this lesson. So God engaged Ezekiel because God likes to engage us. You know, and the way that God actually wants to extend his dominion upon the earth is through man. You know, we see that from the very beginning. Although, unfortunately, they couldn't stay in that dominion for very long because of disobedience. But that's how God intended to extend his dominion upon the earth. You know, is through man. He will give you instruction what to do, and you carry it out. And then that's the way that you make the ordinances of heaven, you know, bear upon the influence, I mean, bear influence upon the outcome of things upon the earth. We are living in two realms at once. We are seated with Christ in heavenly places. That's one realm. But we are also here physically upon the earth. That's another realm. Now, if you know how to engage in the spiritual realm, then you can actually set some certain ordinances in place over there that will affect the outcome of things down here. And God gave instruction to this man. He said, do it like this. Say such and such to this situation. Prophesy upon these dry bones. Now, as you begin to listen to this, and we're going to do that today, I am going to prophetically speak, that means prophesy, to some dry bones in the house today. Dry bones. And the Lord said, I'm going to cause breath to come over you, flesh and everything. So in verse 7, he says, well, so I prophesied as I was commanded. Now, you have to do it as God commanded. You can't deviate from the left, I mean, to the left or the right. And as I prophesied, there was a great noise and a shaking together. You know, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. Now, what a sight to behold. And the Lord showed you that side. I mean, it was really something, you know. I mean, those bones, very many all over there, and the whole thing shaking, cracking, moving, stirring, and so forth, begin to stand up, you know, the bones that are cracked, falling apart, and so forth, they began to come into the way they should be, joint to joint, bone to bone, begin to form a structure. And my goodness, this thing begin to appear, and they started looking like people, you know, flesh started coming back to them. And this man continued to look and said, wow, I wondered, and I was looking. The flesh came upon them, skin covered them, you know, and so forth. And they, you know, they began to stand up. But They were just like still zombies. There was no breath in them. Then the Lord said to him again, prophesy unto the wind. Now first, prophesy upon the bones. Now prophesy unto the wind. And say to the wind, you know, thus saith the Lord. Now the upon was because the bones were on the flesh, dead and everything like that. So speak your word upon them right there on the ground where they are. Now to the window that's from nowhere, we don't really know where it is, you know, because Jesus even talked about that in John chapter 3. Said, you know, as the wind bloweth, no one knows where it's coming or going until it's passed. So is everyone that's born of the Spirit of God. But speak to the wind, the Lord said, and tell the wind to come forth. And God gave him understanding. Oh, breath. There was a breath was even inside the winds. There's a secret there too. You know, Ezekiel didn't know this, but there was the breath that was coming into these living creatures that are now, these people that are coming back from dead bones and dead, being dead, the breath was going to come from the wings. Now, say to the wind, O breath, breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So even the wind carries some substance that can be life. Depends on how you use it. Depends on how you set the dominion upon the earth. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood upon their feet, an exceeding great army. And he said, you know, to me, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Now, you know, there are dead bones in our lives. Dead. It could be dead dreams, dead visions, dead hopes of dead promises. You know, I mean, the promises of God are not dead, but dead in the sense that we're just waiting. Nothing seems to be coming, you know, and long hope weary in the heart. I mean, the Bible even says the deadness of Sarah's womb, even though there was a promise, but, you know, it looked like the promise was dead. But it's not dead. It's only sleeping. That's what Jesus said. Lazarus is not dead. Only sleeping. Now let's look at another story before we actually go to begin to speak prophetically. When you use the word of God to speak prophetically to situations, that's prophetic prayers. And people say you can take it to the bank. Well, you've drawn it from the bank of heaven already. Jesus taught us this story in Mark chapter 11. And I love this story. I speak on it many, many times. And it also carries a famous section that everybody loves to quote. Well, the place where Jesus said, you know, say to the mountain and all that. It's right in that text. You know, before we get to the speak to the mountain part, we see the background of the story of the fig tree that wasn't producing, which Jesus spoke to, and it died. But it didn't look like anything happened, because he saw a fig tree afar off, Mark 11, verse 13. And he came there to see if perhaps he might find anything, but he found nothing but leaves. We've spoke on this before when we covered, you know, bearing fruit unto maturity. The time of figs was not yet. Well, Jesus said, well, nevertheless, I want fruit now. And Jesus answered. Listen to that. Jesus answered. Was this tree speaking to Jesus? And then Jesus had to answer it back. Jesus answered and said to it. And Jesus actually spoke to the tree. The condition of the tree was not something that Jesus wanted. So he spoke to it and said, you're done, because you were not producing. Well, it came to pass that the disciples listened to it. It didn't look like anything happened. But when they came back the next day, they found that the tree had withered away. And he said, wow, look at the tree that you spoke to yesterday. It's already withered away. And the Lord said, look, have faith in God. You know, if you, in yourself, if you speak to this mountain, whatever mountain he was looking at, if you speak to this mountain, be thou removed, cast into the sea, and don't doubt in your heart, but you believe those things come to pass, you have whatever you say. Now let's unpack that. For I say unto you that whosoever shall say, now look at how many times we see the word say here. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, this one is not exactly praying. You know, you're not praying here, but it is prayer. Anytime you're speaking to the works of God's hands, like mountains and things, it could be literally a mountain. You are speaking to the Lord. We saw that in the story of Joshua already. So even though he says speak, it's really a prophetic prayer. Because now you're acting in the place of God. You know, you say to the mountain, be thou removed. Now, you didn't pray to the mountain. And be thou cast to the sea. And you don't doubt it in your heart. But you believe that those things you say will come to pass. Then you shall have whatsoever you say. Now, but let me show you how Jesus brought this together. That this saying and this speaking is actually prayer. Jesus said in the next verse, what things soever you desire when you pray. Say, therefore, I say unto you. I mean, he's talking about speaking to the mountain. He's talking about saying these things and not doubting. And now he's saying, therefore, you know, now therefore is a conjunction because he's joining that first sentence to this next thing he's going to say. Therefore, I say unto you that what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. So we see that Jesus is equating this saying to the mountain as prayer. And when you stand praying, you know, forgive. I mean, he's saying it very plainly here. So even though it looks as if you were just speaking and not praying, he's saying it is really praying because you're talking to the works of God's hand, which means you're talking to God. And anytime we're talking to the works of God's hands or anything in the domain of God. And remember, the king has a kingdom. Every king has a kingdom. And a kingdom is the king's domain. Well, what is God's domain? Well, the heavens belong to the Lord. And the earth has he given to the sons of men. They're still part of God, but he gave it to us. He said, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. You know, so all of these things are in God's domain. So when you stand praying or speaking to a situation, you're actually praying. You know, so now that I brought that all together, here is what we are going to do today. There are situations that I want to speak to. Hallelujah. You know, and yesterday when we were praying, you know, God moved me to pray about something specific towards the end of the room. I wasn't even thinking about that. I was just here. And I suddenly said, well, there's something here that I want to pray about. And I began to pray against the sluggish snail spirit, the procrastination and things. And somebody back-channeled me after that and said, that prayer was for me. They said, that's been my story. Things are not moving. Everything is sluggish. I procrastinate and the devil takes advantage of it. Well, we're going to do more of that today. We're going to speak to more situations and let's see those chains fall off. Let's see things break. Now, the enemy would like to box you in a corner. And so on. I mean, we've seen things that are dead in our lives. Everybody has been through this. Or you see, it's still going through. There are things that you are believing God for. I mean, we've been hearing it in this room. People are declaring things. You know, sometimes you move, it looks like you move forward a few steps, and then it looks like you move backward a few steps. Well, here is another tool that we are placing in your hand today, along with the faith specs that we already taught. Here is another tool that we are placing in your hand. That there are times when you have to speak to the situation. Not just pray, but he's still praying. Because anytime you use the word of God for a situation, you are speaking on God's behalf. Did you know that even angels, sometimes when they came on those errands and they would speak, it would almost be as if they were speaking God's word directly. I mean, it wasn't every one of those angels that was a human form of God. Some of them were just angels. Sometimes God can appear in that form, but most of the time he just sent an angel. But even the angel, you know, he would just, because the Lord said, my voice is in him, he would just speak the word like that. Now you the same, we also who have the Spirit of God in us. The word of God is in us. That's what Romans 10 says. Look, don't go and look for Jesus in the grave. He's no longer there. Don't say who's going to go bring him down from heaven. That's not necessary. The word is in your own mouth. So we're going to use that word prophetically. Now here's what I'm going to do. Now this lesson is almost the same as using the faith specs. But I'm going to prophetically speak to some situation because I've been praying about it, you know, since the last day or so. And say, Lord, there will be people that will come into this room today. And I'm going to speak to certain situations in their lives and teach. I want to teach the people, want the Lord to teach us also how to speak to situations in our lives as well. You know, sometimes we pray, sometimes we speak, sometimes we ask, sometimes we seek, sometimes we knock, sometimes we take action. You know, and there are times when you have to literally take matters into your own hands, so to speak, by using the word of God prophetically to channel and change the situation and not just taking a back seat and waiting to see how things will turn out. Well, the way things may turn out may not be the way that they should for your benefit if you don't do something about the situation. You know, so that's what we're going to do here this morning. And once we understand how that works, and cast your mind back to the scriptures that we read today, see how Joshua spoke to the sun and the moon, yet it was said that he was speaking to the Lord, which would mean prayer, but he was actually speaking to the sun and the moon. See how God spoke to Job, telling him and asking him questions if he understands certain things and how to make them happen. And by all of those questioning, we understand that we can actually do that if you know how it works. See how Jesus spoke to this tree and so on. And he told us that that's actually prayer. See how God commanded Ezekiel. That one is a powerful and beautiful story. Now, consider the valley of dry bones in your life today. Where are those dry bones? They are very dry and very dead sometimes. Dry means there's no life. They have nothing going. You know, there's just no life. There's no movement. I mean, this is just, you know, things are just not going. Where are those situations? It may be for yourself. It may be for your children. Maybe for a loved one. But we can identify at any time that you identify those situations. And this is not just you coming for prayer. It's more than that. It's you using the word of God, just like we've been teaching the last 2 days, to speak to the situation. While you are carrying on a posture, you actually may have to speak to certain situations to move things out of the way. If there is a mountain that is in your way And sometimes mountains are things that are overwhelming, that is beyond your strength, that completely seems to overwhelm you, completely seems to dwarf you, and you can't seem to get around it. Well, you're going to have to move it. You may move it or get around it, jump over it or something. And if you can't get around it, then you have to move it. But it must not stand in your way. Hallelujah. Prophetic prayers, the word does exactly that. And you can use the word of the Lord. Just like God was teaching Ezekiel here. He says, say to the wind, speak upon the bones. And it was thus said the Lord, because the Lord was what asked him to say. So you can actually, you know, like we taught, use the word of God, find the word, and speak it to the situation. And you can say, thus said the Lord, because the Lord already said it. God's word is the Lord. So we are going to speak certain situations this morning. I want to command a blessing. Here are some things that I'm going to speak to here this morning, which God had already commanded in his word. The crooked to be made straight. Now, what is crooked? Crooked means instead of you, remember the straight line, a straight line is what? The shortest distance between two points. From point A to point B, the shortest way for you to get from A to B is a straight line. That's the definition of a straight line. But if it takes you longer than that distance, then the thing is crooked. It's a crooked line. You know, you fly straight, you know, straight from point A to point B. That's your shortest path to get there. There's a place that you are going. And if you are on track, it will be the shortest distance. If you are not on track, then the road already became crooked. You're going through all kinds of winding ways. And then it will be a longer travel instead of just going straight. So that's what's called crooked paths. Taking you longer than it should take you. You know, and it's slowing you down. You can't really, when you are driving, you can't even drive fast when the road is bending and winding and cornering and all of that. It slows you down. That's what making straight the crooked places means. What about the rough places? You know, God wants you to have a smooth ride and a smooth journey. But there's all these things on the way. Sometimes it seems like you even step on a landmine and all kinds of things blowing up in your face and so on. You know, God says, look, I want to make the path before you smooth out all the rough places. That's what he wants to do. He wants to make the crooked street. He wants to smooth out the rough places. You might be in the wilderness. Nothing seems to be happening. I mean, there is usually no way in the wilderness. You can't really find your way. I mean, there is no map. It's just wilderness. God said, yeah, I will make a way and I will show you the way. Rivers in the desert, even. You know, and when the place is so dry, like here in Phoenix, Arizona, it's a desert place. You know, through some intervention, they've tried to make the place not look like a desert. But it's still desert. There may be dryness. But the Lord said, I can bring waters out of even that dryness. There may be mountains that the Lord needs to level. And there may be valleys that he needs to fill. You say, every mountain shall be brought low. You know, mountains, they are usually hindrances. You don't need any mountain, you know, to be in your way. And sometimes we are on top of the mountain. Well, when you are on top of the mountain, let me tell you what is going to bring you down. Pride will bring you down from the top of that mountain. When you are in the valley, let me tell you what's going to keep you in the valley. Fear and unbelief will keep you in the valley. So these are all the things we have to overcome. We don't need you to be in the valley. We want the Lord to give you a plain things like you are on top, but you're not undulating up and down, up and down. You're like a plateau. You just, you know, you're walking straight. And even if you need to climb the next mountain, we know sometimes you have to come down to climb the next. It's not because you came down through pride. It's because there's another challenge that you must overcome. So, these are the things that we are going to do today. Now, the scripture says, I said before you today, life and death. Well, I'm not going to be as dramatic as that today. But I do set before you today, you know, the opportunity to use the word of God to bring down mountains and level mountains, raise the hills, smooth out the rough places, you know, make the crooked to be straight. And you don't want to be going around in circles either. Travel straight. Know where you're going. And know how to get there. And if you find that you're not walking like how to get there, then God will give you wisdom on how to make the correction. Now, wisdom will also teach you that if you miss the way, don't keep going and thinking that somehow you are going to get there. That's not going to happen. You're not going to get there if you are on the wrong path. And you just keep going on the wrong path and think that, well, magically, you will still get there. You will not get there. You've already missed the way. Sometimes when you miss the way, you may have to turn back and go and figure out where you missed the way and then take the correct turn. Because this thing happened to me once before in the natural. I missed the way. You know, I was in Philadelphia one time. And I missed the way, got on the wrong highway. It's supposed to go this way or that way. And I went the other way. And I'm thinking in my head, because I'm from Arizona. And any freeway in Arizona, you go 1 mile or a mile and a half at most. You find an exit. You can turn around and so forth. So I'm thinking in my head, you know, that, well, I just go a little bit and I'll find the next exit and I'll take. And there was no next exit. And it had this big 4 foot high wall in the middle of this thing. You can't even turn over all down the road. There's no exit and you can't turn across because they built this wall in the middle. And so I'm going and thinking that somehow, but I already know that I already missed the way. I got to turn back, but I can't. 30 miles later. And this was in the night. No navigation, no GPS then. Began to wonder where this is ever going to end. But by the grace of God, I came upon a toll gate and said to the man, look, I don't care what you do. Give me a ticket or not. I'm going to turn around in this toll gate. The man said, well, just pay my toll first. Then you can turn around. You know, so, but I already knew that I missed the way. I can keep going and thinking that magically I will get to where I'm going to. It's not going to happen. You have to turn back. You already missed the way. You know, so some of us, you know, we're maybe in that situation. You've already missed the way. You may have to turn back. So I turned back to the place where I knew I missed the way. Then I took the correct turn. Hallelujah. You know, so these are all the things that I'm going to be praying about in this room today and speaking prophetically into your life. And you will be doing the same for yourself. Hallelujah. So are you ready? Are you ready? Let's do it. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your word. See, this word is alive. It is quick. It is powerful. And the word always sustains itself. The word of God. Hallelujah. I'm going to speak to, first of all, chaos. The first thing I want to speak to here today. Hallelujah. Your life is chaotic, void, and without form. Even as we saw in Genesis, it took the Holy Spirit to move. And the Holy Spirit must move before there can be order brought into chaos or out of chaos. And there's no one like that Holy Spirit that knows how to fix that. Once he moves, Bible said the Holy Spirit moved in the beginning. He didn't like the order, the disorder and the chaos and the voidness. And there may be some things that are void in your life. Chaotic. Some people's lives actually attract chaos. I don't know why, but just chaos. Holy Spirit doesn't like that. In the beginning, the earth was without form and void. Without form means chaos. Just all over the place, you know, formless. It didn't look like God wanted it. You know, it just, everything was just all over the place. And God had to speak to it, put it back in place. Now, the things that are all over the place in your life, let me speak prophetically to those things today. Thus saith the Lord, to the places that are without form and void in your life, let them take shape. Hallelujah. Take shape now. Glory to God. Take shape. Take shape in Jesus.
Amen.
Let the chaos, you know, the chaos and all the rough places. Listen to the word of the Lord now.
Amen.
The Lord rebuke all of the chaotic things and all of the roughness. Let there be a smoothness.
Amen.
In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Now, some of you have stepped on landmines. Landmines. Blew up in your face.
Amen.
Why? Because the Bible says the prudent man foreseeth the evil.
Mm.
You didn't see, you didn't foresee it. You stepped on the landmine. And maybe the devil, he wooed you in, you know. Maybe the devil wooed you in, you know, put something in front of you that looked like the real thing. And you went in that direction, boom, you stepped on a landmine because of lack of wisdom. I come today in the name of the Lord to speak correction.
Amen.
To your ways.
Jesus.
That you will now hear instruction behind your ears.
Amen.
So this is the way. Walk, don't turn that way. Don't you do it.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Don't go that way. You're going to step on a landmine. Mm. Hallelujah. Holy Spirit will check you.
Amen.
God, I pray that you receive understanding and grace.
Amen.
For the Holy Spirit to be checked. That you hear that voice behind your ear.
Yes, Lord.
God says, I will guide you with my eye.
Yes, Lord.
I will instruct you in the way that you should go, and even more importantly, in the way that you should not go.
Amen.
There are some things that you should not do.
Amen.
Because you are going to step on a landmine.
Mm-hmm.
And some of you have stepped on some landmines. I see that in the spirit. Now the Lord rebuke the voices that are not his in your life.
Amen. In the name of Jesus.
Voices that are not his, that are telling you, drawing you into the wrong thing, and you end up stepping in a landmine. And it blows up in your face.
I receive that word in the name
Lord,
of Jesus.
I rebuke those things in the name
Amen.
Of Jesus.
Amen.
Yes! Today, if you will hear his voice, though,
yes, I
don't, you have to sift out all the other voices. Glory to God. Now,
Amen.
I pray and I speak prophetically today into your spirit and into your mind that your spirit will tune up and align with the voice of the Spirit of God.
Amen.
Not all these other voices that are drawing you in into pitfalls and into landmines. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Now there are some crookedness in your paths that are making you, you know, take a longer route. Instead of just going straight from point A to point B, deviations, curves and bends and all these kind of things are slowing you down. That's not God's way. The God's way is in the whirlwind. He has a way that is straight. He wants you to go straight. He says straight. Hallelujah. Go straight. Go through, he said. But sometimes we are meandering around. Now I speak prophetically to the spirit, the voices and tokens of lies that are causing you to meander all over the place. Let them be gone in Jesus' name. Move straight.
In the name of
straight.
Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Jesus steps in his footsteps. He's right in front of you.
Yes, Lord. Yes,
one
Lord.
Step at a time. Follow him. He's not going all over the place. He's going straight in the direction that he wants you to go.
Amen, Lord.
Into his footstep. One step at a time. As thou goest, thy way shall be made straight before thee, saith the Lord.
Amen, Lord.
He will open it up before you. You will not go around in curves.
Hallelujah, amen.
Enough of that already.
Yes, Lord.
We want to go straight from point A to point B.
Point B, directly.
And when you get to point B, he may show you how to go to point C.
Yes, Lord.
Each time, you must go straight.
Amen.
The crooked paths, let them be made straight here this morning.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
And there are places where you have been, where they tell you that the door is shut. You can't go in there. That's what Adam told Enoch. You cannot go in there. The gates are shut. Just waiting to die. All hope is lost. Enoch said, no, I'm going in there one way or another. Hallelujah. Where the wilderness has been, the Bible says the wilderness shall now be made, you know, a pleasant land.
Glory to the forest. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Shout out.
Yeah. Fruitful forest. For
yes,
the
Lord.
Wilderness.
Yes, Lord. Yes,
see,
Lord.
My people shall return.
Shout out.
Singing.
Yes,
glory
Lord.
To God.
Sato,
Father. 35. Make the wilderness of your people, Lord. A
yes,
fruitful
Lord.
Forest. A pleasant
Amen.
Land. In the name of Jesus, I command pleasantness to come out.
We receive, Lord. Yes, Lord. Amen.
Now, what is a wilderness? A wilderness sometimes is also part of this, you know, just meandering, you know, instead of obeying the voice of the Lord, stuck in the wilderness. We don't want to die in the wilderness. We are going to the promised land. Glory to God. And we are going to take a straight route. We're not going to go all over the place. Hallelujah. And all the dryness, I want to speak to some dry bones and some dead bones here. Deadness. Hallelujah. Deadness. Now God raises the dead. That's what he does. For God who raises the dead and commands those things that are not as though they already are. That's what he does. He specializes in raising the dead. Even the deadness of Sarah's womb was no match for the word of God. Glory to God. Now, there are many things that are dead. Dead in your lives. It looked like they're dead and buried. Lazarus was dead, buried 4 days. Perhaps already even ready to be stinking, the sister said. By now he stinketh. Been there 4 days. And Jesus said, come out of those graves. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, your dreams and visions and things that seem to be dead and buried, I speak prophetically to them. Come out of the grave. Glory to God. It's always in two stages. First, prophesy upon the bones. Then speak to the wind. Same thing that Jesus did. Come out of the graves. He came out, but he was still bound in grave clothes. Then he said, loose him and let him go. Glory to God. Now I speak to the wind that carries the breath. Hallelujah. Bring life renewed vision, invigorating, you know, your vision and your dreams. Come alive. New instructions. Inspiration of the Almighty.
Amen.
Now I want to speak against some tokens of lies.
Mm.
That's right. Tokens of lies. Right? The devil said, you can't do that. You know, you're never going to have a baby. You are not going to have a husband. And all of these things. You're never going to get ahead in life. They're always going to pass you by for that promotion. I mean, you're always going to almost get there, but somebody is going to step in ahead of you. That's what the man said. You know, every time I see the staring of the pool, I wanted to get in there, but somebody always step in ahead of me. Well, that's the story of many people. Close, but never get into it. When you are just there, somebody else steps in and claims it. And you always seem to be left behind. You seem to be left behind. Well, you will no longer be left behind anymore. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. You will no longer be called forsaken.
Amen.
God said, I will call your name Hephzibah and Beautiful.
Amen.
Lord says that you are chosen.
Thank you, Lord.
You will also be married. You will be fruitful.
Amen.
God said in the beginning, the first words out of his mouth to the man, the very first thing out of his mouth. Be fruitful.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Command that those words will take a hold of your life. Let your life be fruitful, even physically, in the bringing forth of babies. In the name of Jesus. God shall increase you more and more.
Amen.
There are people in this room that are concerned about that.
Reach out strength, Lord. Amen.
God will increase you more and more, you and your children. Now, you will be fruitful.
Amen.
You will be fruitful. The wilderness is not fruitful until God turns it into a
forest.
Beautiful forest of trees.
Yeah.
So I'm speaking to the wilderness. Hear the voice of the Lord today.
Amen.
The wildernesses that are in your life that are not fruitful. Command the fruit by the miracle and by the voice of God. We command the wilderness to be turned into a place of a garden. Hallelujah. Amen. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
I want to speak to, you know, the eyes that see thorns instead of roses. Your eyes that see thorns instead of roses. Your eyes that see giants instead of, even in spite of the promise of God, but all you see is giants. I can't do that. I'm a grasshopper. I want to speak prophetically today against those tokens of lies. The Lord frustrate them in Jesus' name.
Amen.
The Lord make your vision flame to see the roses and not the thorns. Hallelujah.
Amen.
The eyes that see a glass that is half empty rather than half full. I command a shift.
Amen.
An atmosphere shift. A paradigm shift in your head and your mind. And you begin to see positiveness. Glory
Amen.
To God.
Amen. Amen. Glory to God.
Evil. I speak against those even now.
Amen.
See no evil.
Amen.
Hear no evil.
Amen.
The angels went forth.
Thank you, Father.
The whole earth is full of the glory of the Lord. The whole earth was not full of the glory of the Lord. The earth was full of evil. But they chose to see the glory of God. Hallelujah. You know, what are you going to see Are you going to see the evil, or are you going to see the glory of God? Arise and shine, Jesus said.
Yes, Lord.
The light has come upon you. There's going to be darkness all around, but are you going to see the darkness?
Or
are you going to see the light of life? The day spring on high has visited you. See no evil and hear no evil in the name of Jesus. Your heart is now fixed on the Lord. You will not be afraid of evil tidings because you are trusting in the Lord. This man's heart is fixed. Not be afraid of evil tidings. From this day forth, I speak prophetically to your mind that you will see no evil, that you will hear no evil. And don't look for the evil, but look for the good, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. Because I will do you good all your days, saith the Lord, and I will not do you evil. Hallelujah. Amen. The mountains may depart, and the hills may be moved, but my covenant of peace shall not depart from you.
Amen.
I will do you good all your days.
Amen.
And I will do your children good all your days as well.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Therefore, don't look for the evil. Don't look for the evil.
Lord.
Look for the good in the name of Jesus. See the roses and not the thorns. Hallelujah. Now, I want to speak against the bag of holes. Glory to God. The bag of holes. There are many people listening to me today. That's their problem. You work hard, but he said it looked like it came to nothing. You put in a lot, but it came to little. And let's turn that around in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Put in a little and let it come to plenty now. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Put it in the hands of God now. Put the two loaves and the five fishes in the Lord's hand. Let him bless it and put it back in your hands. And let it come to something beautiful that can reach out to thousands. A little one. Glory to God. Shall become a great nation. A small thing shall become a thousand. Glory to God. In his hands. Now, the spirit of earning money, putting it in a bag of holes, problems all around you, things always breaking up, breaking that you have to fix, and you can't even fix because, you know, all you are doing is just living from paycheck to paycheck. Then all these problems again, and you can't fix them anyway. Now, those are things that we need to break here today. Glory to God. Prophetically, in the name of Jesus, and you can speak this for yourself too. I break this, you know, those vicious cycles of earning money and putting it in a bag of holes. No! Hallelujah. Thus saith the Lord, the enemy shall no more eat thy corn for the which thou hast labored. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Isaiah 62. The Lord said, he will not give your corn to your enemies. Now, what are those enemies? The enemies of your progress, making you to put money into a bag of holes. You work hard, but you have to spend it on problems. We cancel and erase that in Jesus' name. Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. In the name of Jesus.
You will enjoy it. The Bible says that a man should enjoy the gift of all his labor. I mean, the fruit of all his labor is the gift of God. It is not your portion to be adding money and putting it in a bag of holes. The Lord wants you to earn money and to enjoy it. Hallelujah. Enjoy and be blessed. It is the gift of God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. The Lord has sworn by his right hand. Isaiah 62 and verse 8. And by the arm of his strength, surely. Now that, you know, it's not too many times that God swears. But this time around, he swore also. Surely, I will no more give thy corn to be meat for thine enemies. Ha, Rabba Shandala Kusoria Balayi. I will not let the sons of the stranger drink what you have labored for. You have labored for it. He said, you that have gathered it, you shall also eat it. You shall praise the name of the Lord. You that have brought it together shall drink it. In the courts of my holiness, said the Lord, go through the gates. Hallelujah. There are some gates here this morning that must be opened up, or afternoon, wherever you are. Open ye the gates, that the righteous nation may go in. Open ye the gates, that the people of God may go in. Now I speak to the gates. O ye gates, hear ye the word of the Lord. Open up and let the people of God go through. Go through, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Now, you are here today. You say, well, you know, what manner of thing is this? You know, I mean, they are saying it, but, you know, it doesn't look like, I mean, you know, yeah, they prayed for me before, but, you know, well, that was then, but this is now. Hallelujah. See no evil. Hear no evil. Take this word and run with it and begin to use it yourself. You know, don't stay. And some of you, the Lord has actually blessed, you know, but there is a lot more where that came from. And you are limited by your faith horizon. Your faith horizon is not far out long enough. You can only see just a few feet ahead of you. But the Lord will say to you, like he said to Abraham, from the place where you are, I want you to look far ahead. Look all around you. To the east, to the south, to the north, to the east. All that you can see, glory to God, will I give you. Now, the veil for Shanda Karamaso Tayaba, the veil that is cast upon you, that makes you to not see things that the Lord wants you to see. I'm going to come against it right now. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Now listen to this. The Lord says in Isaiah 25 and verse 7, and the Lord will destroy, even in the mountain, in this mountain where you are right now, the face of the covering that is cast over all people, the veil that is spread over your eyes, that is preventing you to see what the Lord wants you to see. I come against it in the name of Jesus. Let the veil be broken. Let it be removed. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Now, ladies and gentlemen.
Amen.
It's your turn. It's your turn. I have declared many things. Yesterday, I'm going to declare it again too. I came against the spirit of the snail, you know, just the tortoise, the snail, just dragging, sluggish. Whereas the Lord said, I will make your feet like hinds' feet. I will cause you to ride upon your high places. But sluggishness, dragging and going around in curves, I come against that spirit in the name of Jesus. And sometimes also through our own laziness and procrastination, the devil tried to take advantage of that. I come against that also in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. But listen to this. Behold, saith the Lord, the years which the canker worm, the caterpillar, the locust, and the palmer worm have eaten, I will restore, and you will recover all, saith the Lord.
Amen. In the name of Jesus. Amen.
Will recover all. Now I command the great total recovery come upon everyone that's in this room. Amen. Whatever you have lost, whatever the enemy has stolen from you, that's
yes,
right.
Yes.
You will recover all in the name of Jesus. Now let me prophesy upon all the losses. I prophesy upon all the losses. Return to the people of the Lord into their bosoms. Hallelujah.
Amen.
The king Let him stretch out his golden scepter towards you.
Amen.
And let the king make a decree just on your behalf.
Amen.
Friend from anyone else, because it's the king's favor. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Favor for you everywhere. In the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Recover all. Thank you, Jesus. You will recover all. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Though thy beginning was small, according to the words of Job chapter 8 and verse 7. Though thy beginning was small, yet the latter end shall greatly increase. Now some of you might despise the day of small things. The Bible says, who has despised the day of small things? These are the eyes of the Lord. Don't worry about it. Do not despise the day of small things. Because small beginnings lead to greater endings. Now, in the name of Jesus, I come against that spirit that look at things and say they are small beginnings. May the Lord grant you the vision.
Amen.
To see beyond the small beginnings.
Amen.
And see the greater endings, the greater endings that are ahead.
Jesus. Amen.
Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who himself, you know, had to do the same thing. He himself had to look beyond
the
immediate situation. He had to look beyond the cross. Mm. He had to look for the glory that will be revealed.
Thank you, Lord.
Glory to God. May you also look beyond the present circumstances in Jesus' name. Now, some of you are going through, you may be in a dark place right now. Well, when you are in your Gethsemane, there's not going to be anybody with you. You're going to have to go through it all alone. But you are never alone, saith the Lord. I am with you, and I will be with you. Everybody forsake you? Well, everybody forsook Christ. He was in Gethsemane all alone. Called upon his disciples, will you pray with me? They slept. He went away for an hour, came back. It took Jesus 3 hours. What would have taken him 1 hour if they would have prayed with him? But they wouldn't do it. But he was all alone. But he was not alone. The angels came and strengthened him. The Father was with him. Well, when it seems that you are all alone, in your moment, in your Gethsemane, that's not going to be anybody that's standing with you. You're going to go through it all by yourself. But I am with you, saith the Lord.
Amen. Hallelujah.
I'll never leave you nor forsake you.
Thank you, Lord. Amen.
When you pass through the fire, I will be with you.
Amen.
If you pass through the waters, they will not overwhelm you.
Amen.
Neither flame kindle upon you.
Amen.
I will never leave you. I got your back.
Amen.
I got your hand in my hands. Glory to God.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Now, knowing then that God has given us this assurance, what manner of men we ought to be now. From now on, let's change our speech. Let's change our posture. Let's change our outlook. Begin to declare, you know, we don't need to be begging God for the things. No beggarly attitude that God has already given us. Use prophetic prayers to declare for yourself. Speak prophetically to situations. If you see any dead bones, begin to speak to them. Now it's your turn. Take a few minutes. Everybody in this room, begin to speak to the dead bones in your life. I pray.
Everything that is dead, I command you to be alive.
Bible says that what things soever you can imagine, God can outdo it. If you can even think it, if you can imagine it, he can do even more. So imagine great things. Don't limit your imagination. That's how God did it. He imagined everything and he called them forth. And finally, he imagined himself. When he imagined himself, he said, well, that was the peak of his imagination. That's it. He can't go any further. He's done. When he imagined himself, created the man. He said, wow, the man's here now. This was his masterpiece. Finally, but he imagined a lot of things. Imagine the fish, imagine the birds, imagine the animals, imagine everything. Call them forth. Hallelujah. Now, God has given you the same power of imagination. Hallelujah. If you can think it, if you can imagine it, the land that you can see from where you are, that's what I will give you, said the Lord. Imagine it, look, see it. The future that you see today is where you will be tomorrow. I command your eyes to be open in the name of Jesus, that you will see beyond your immediate. Hallelujah. Visionaries, people have done great things in life. That's how they are born. They see beyond the present. The strategic thinking, strategic scenes, visions. Visions of glory. Hallelujah. See the glory of the Lord. Now, according to the words of Psalm 90 and verse 16, I bestow this upon you today. Let the beauty of our God shine upon you. Hallelujah. Shine upon your ways. Let him establish the work of your hands. Even let him establish it in Jesus' name. Glory to God. Ladies and gentlemen, what an awesome time in his presence. Now, we've been around this topic for the past 3 days. So nobody has any excuses now. For the last 3 days, and this is the last of it, we've been doing this. First, the book of Hebrews. Hebrews 11. We've been doing the book of Hebrews. But chapter 11, faith. And then the attributes of faith, we called it out into even the faith lab. practicalize it. And now, prophetic prayer. So you got all these tools in your hands now. Therefore, go and prosper, saith the Lord. Go and prosper.
Amen.
In the name of the Lord Jesus. Remember,
hallelujah.
This is your year to emerge. Hallelujah. Yeah, going to emerge. That's why the Lord is putting all these tools in your hands. You will emerge. And this is the picture that I saw. That beautiful butterfly coming out of that ugly cocoon, that ugly caterpillar, struggling. Very repulsive thing there. And, you know, the process of extraction of that beautiful thing out of that ugly thing was very painful. That's what's happening to many of us, many of you. There is a beautiful thing that's coming out. And the process of that extraction is so painful. But don't see the caterpillar. Don't see the cocoon. See the beautiful butterfly. When he comes out of that thing, finally. I've never seen anything like that. Beautiful colors. Rainbow colors. Fly and float. Glory to God. And just a few moments ago, it was the ugliest thing you ever saw. But out of that thing, my shaker over sunder. Out of that ugly thing, when the Lord presses, allow that thing to press and press. You got to press the grapes in order for the wine to come out. And you press like that, eventually comes out this beautiful thing. Glory to God. As a refiner's fire, the Lord is purifying the sons of the kingdom. And you're coming out into your own, spiritually, materially, physically, and otherwise, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, for this room. In Jesus' name, we have declared. Amen and amen.